In our last session together, quite a few big events had taken place in the country of Judea. First of all, King Jehoiakim had decided to quit paying tribute money to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the growing Neo-Babylonian Empire. And so in 598 BC, which would have been the 11th year of Jehoiakim, the Babylonian armies came against Jerusalem and eventually forced Jehoiakim to come out and surrender himself to them. And he was immediately seized and chained up and prepared for transport up to Mesopotamia. While the siege kept going on, by the way. Well, Nebuchadnezzar comes to the city after he finds out that Jehoiakim has died in Babylonian custody. And we know from the prophecies that Jehoiakim's body was just tossed off to the side like roadkill, like a dead donkey. Didn't get an official burial. Inside the besieged city, for about the next 3 months, was the young man Jehoiakim, or Koniah, as we've seen him referred to in the Jeremiah prophecies. He's only about 8 years of age, and he is just as wicked, apparently, at that young age as his father and his first uncle on the throne had been. He's nothing like his grandfather, the godly Josiah. So God causes Jehoiakim to surrender himself into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And that all takes place somewhere at the very beginning of 597 BC, probably in February of that year. And so that's two kings down right in a row. And Nebuchadnezzar replaces the young king, Jehoiakim, with his older uncle, one of the sons of Josiah, and gives him a new name, Zedekiah. And Zedekiah becomes the final king of southern Judah. And then Nebuchadnezzar withdraws because it is understood that Zedekiah is now the tributary king to the Babylonian Empire. And when he withdraws, Nebuchadnezzar takes with him a whole bunch of the leadership and their families and a bunch of the artisans and soldiers and their families. And he takes thousands of Judeans into Babylonian exile. This is the second time that an exile procedure takes place under Nebuchadnezzar. The first one had happened several years earlier in 605 BC when Daniel and his friends were placed in mandatory Babylonian training so that they could join Nebuchadnezzar's court. So in 597 BC, at some point shortly after all of these people were taken away to Mesopotamia in exile, God sends Jeremiah another message to pass on. So we're in Jeremiah chapter 24, verse number 1. After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken into exile from Jerusalem Jeconiah, that's Jehoiakim, or Koniah, he's got several different ways of describing his name. The son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, together with the officials of Judah, the craftsmen, the metal workers, and had brought them to Babylon. He who is showed me this vision. So at some point after all the exiles left in the early parts of 597, God sends this vision. Behold, two baskets of figs placed before the temple of He who is. Now, it was common procedure that when the harvest time came, part of the harvest of all the different agricultural products was taken in baskets and donated to God at the temple building, where they would then be utilized by the priests and the Levites as part of their pay. So the picture we have here is kind of two baskets showing up at the temple. And these are baskets of figs. Verse 2, one basket had very good figs, like first ripe figs and newly picked figs, absolutely delicious. But the other basket had very bad figs, so bad that they could not be eaten. So the second basket has overripe or maybe super, super green figs, and they're horrible. You wouldn't even want to try to eat them. They're just that nasty. And then comes the interpretation. He who is said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And I said, "Figs. The good figs, very good. And the bad figs, very bad. So bad that they cannot be eaten." And then the word of he who is came to me. "Thus says he who is the God of Israel, like these good figs, so I will regard as good the exiles from Judah, whom I've sent away from this place to the land of the Chaldeans." Chaldea was a very specific place on the Euphrates River. It was north and west of Babylon City. But it kind of stands as a secondary way of referring to the entire Babylonian Empire, or the land of Babylon between the two rivers. Verse 6, "I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land." Now, these guys that were taken in exile, some of them were evildoers. There's just zero doubt about that. Jeconiah, for example, the king himself, and some of his administration officials, they were bad. But as a whole, God is referring to this group that goes away into exile, as well as the group that came before them. That'd be Daniel and his bunch, and a group that will come after them once the temple is destroyed. This is going to be God's seed stock of the Israeli people. So God is going to count them as the good seed from which he will replant the land of Israel with Israelis. And so he is going to bring them, not these guys individually, but their descendants, their family members farther down in time, that these guys are going to be coming back to restart the land in accordance with God's promises. So God continues, "I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them." So God's intention with taking these people away into exile is for the good of the plan of salvation and for the good of the people of Israel as a whole, and these people in particular, because that means they will be far away from Jerusalem when God's judgment finally falls. Verse 7, "I will give them a heart to know that I am he who is, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." So God's intention is that at least some of those that go into exile will have learned their lesson, and they will repent and return to the true faith, to the covenant, and they will teach their children and their grandchildren to do things God's way. And it will be from that group that Judah will be repopulated again in the time of the return. Verse number 8, "But thus says he who is, like the bad figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten, so will I treat Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his officials, the remnant of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. So the people that got left behind are really rotten. And they are slated to come under God's final judgment whenever the Babylonians come down hard at God's direction against the land of Judah, against Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be erased from the map, effectively, and the temple, which will be also totally dismantled. So these that remain in the land are under God's curse. And also some who escaped off to Egypt, which is not surprising because during this time period, the Babylonians and the Egyptians are fighting with each other, trying to take control of the lower Middle East as their place of leadership and control. And so some of the people that were afraid of the Babylonians may have packed up. We can probably even say definitely packed up and headed off to Egypt. But part of the reason they went there is because they were in direct rebellion to God. They didn't want to do things God's way. And so that's why they also are said to be under the curse. We'll actually talk about that more later because God will warn people right before the end that they should not be going to Egypt. And they go anyway. And they kidnap Jeremiah the prophet and force him to go with them. And so he has to speak God's curse upon them for doing that. Verse number 9. I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a reproach, a byword, a taunt, and a curse in all the places where I shall drive them. So the ones that come under God's curse, their deaths, their loss of property, their loss of the land, their loss of status, all of those things are going to be object lessons to the rest of the world. This is what happens when you go against God's covenant that you've agreed to live under. Verse 10, I will send sword, famine, and pestilence upon them until they shall be utterly destroyed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers. A lot of this should remind us of God's use of Israel to kick out of the land and annihilate anyone that tries to stay in the land among the Canaanite peoples because they had gone against God's way of doing things. And so they came under God's curse and they were kicked out of the land. And at the same time that the Israelis were involved in that process, they were told, if you copy them, if you engage in the same sort of idolatrous lifestyles, you will also be kicked out of the land. Well, let's go to Jeremiah 29 as we continue looking at things that happened right after the exile in 597 BC. It says, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, the metal workers, had departed from Jerusalem. So this is the documentation that God had Jeremiah send off to the exiles who have recently been taken away. And it is got a specific person that's going to do the delivery. That's in verse 3. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So this is an official entourage sent from the new vassal king Zedekiah, to Nebuchadnezzar. And so Jeremiah piggybacks on that and says, hey, you're heading off to Babylon. Take this letter with you and deliver it to the people. Verse number 4 tells us what the letter said. It said, thus says he who is of the hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. So this is part of the message of you need to just settle in, because this is where you're going to be living the rest of your lives. This is where you're going to raise your families and where your families will raise families. So settle in for the duration. Verse number 7. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to he who is on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. So these Israelis, these Judeans, these Jews are also told, look, you are now people living in that land. So you need to pray for that land. You need to pray for its prosperity. You need to pray for its security. You need to pray for their leaders. You need to pray for the agricultural cycles. You need to pray for things dealing with health. So you basically just settle in and make it home. And this is, again, a reminder that as believers, wherever we're at, that's where we need to be praying for. We need to pray that things will go smoothly. I think about Paul telling us that we need to pray for those in authority over us. We need to pray that there will be peace in our society, because that's going to be best for us. So that's what these guys are being told. And while I'm thinking of it, don't picture that the exile is these guys being taken off to a whole bunch of concentration camps where they are being treated like prisoners. Sometimes we got that idea from the old way of referring to this as the Babylonian captivity. This is not a captivity in that sense. It is a timeout given by God through the hands of the Babylonians, where these Jewish people are being relocated to new homes, to new farms, to new jobs, and they will be part of that society and just not be allowed to go back to where they were born and grew up. All that will have to wait until permission is given to descendants of these people to go back and repopulate their ancestral homes. Continuing in Jeremiah 29, verse 8. For thus says he who is of the host, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares he who is. Now this is bringing up again a problem that we talked about yesterday. There are false prophets, false leaders that are trying to tell these people, apparently even when they're all taken away to Babylon, it'll be okay. This is not the way it's going to end. We'll be heading back to Jerusalem soon. We'll be going back to Judea soon. God won't let us have to stay here. And so these guys are lying through their teeth in the name of he who is. So they are false prophets, and they are not to be listened to. And so God continues, verse 10, for thus says he who is, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Jeremiah's already brought that number up before that God gave him, that the Babylonian Empire and its impact upon the Judeans is going to last for a 70-year period. So these guys should just settle in, because they already know the majority of them won't live another 70 years to see how things change once God is done with the Babylonians. But for the next generations, they should be ready for what God has in mind. So when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. All the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, God had said, when I punish you, when I take you out of the land, put you into exile, destroy your cities, destroy your temple, eventually, when you repent and when you start living by the covenant, I will bring you back. So that's part of the promise that God is letting them know now at the beginning of their exile. Verse 11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares he who is, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, I know a lot of you have had that verse kind of as a life encouragement verse, and that's great, but the principle here is that God always has a plan for you to come out of your sin into his covenant. And that's what's going to bring wholeness. That's what's going to bring you a future and hope. And so let's always remember that that's the point of this verse. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. That's a hint at the idea of the rebuilding of the temple, by the way. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares he who is, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares he who is, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. So God's intention is to bring a representative sample of the descendants of these people back to the promised land and start all over again. And from that seed stock, the Jewish people will rebuild the temple, rebuild Jerusalem, and get everything ready for the first coming of the Messiah, which is an important part of the keeping of God's promise here. Verse number 15. Because you've said, he who is has raised up prophets for us in Babylon, that's the false prophets, thus says he who is concerning the king who sits on the throne of David and concerning all the people who dwell in this city, your kinsmen who did not go out with you into exile. Thus says he who is of the hosts, behold, I am sending on them sword, famine, and pestilence, and I will make them like vile figs that are so rotten they cannot be eaten. There's the vision of Jeremiah. I will pursue them with sword, famine, and pestilence, and I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, a terror, a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations where I've driven them, because they did not pay attention to my words, declares he who is, that I persistently sent to you by my servants the prophets, but you would not listen, declares he who is. So that's a repeated phrase over and over again. Hear the word of he who is, all you exiles, whom I sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says he who is of the host, the God of Israel, concerning Ahab, the son of Goliah, and Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah, who are prophesying a lie to you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will strike them down before your eyes. Because of them, this curse shall be used by all the exiles from Judah and Babylon. He who is, make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Because they have done an outrageous thing in Israel. They've committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and they have spoken in my name lying words that I did not command them. I am the one who knows. I am witness, declares he who is. So God names through the prophet Jeremiah and says, these guys are going to go down. They will be burned to death by Nebuchadnezzar once he tracks them down. Because this is what they're doing. They're going around stirring everybody up saying, oh, God's going to take you back to the land. God's going to take you back to Israel and Jerusalem very, very soon. And God's going to do a death blow against Nebuchadnezzar and against the Babylonians, and we'll go out of here victorious. And that's not the message that God wants proclaimed at this time. He wants them to build houses, settle down, and be ready for the duration. Let's finish up with the last part of this chapter. To Shemaiah of Nehalam, you shall say, thus says he who is of the host, the God of Israel, you've sent letters in your name to all the people who are in Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah, the priest, and to all the priests, saying, he who is has made you priest instead of Jehoiada the priest, to have charge in the house of he who is over every madman who prophesies, to put him in stocks and neck irons. That's actually a reference to Jeremiah, by the way. Now, why have you not rebuked Jeremiah of Anathoth, who is prophesying to you? For he has sent to us in Babylon, saying, your exile will be long, build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. So here's another false prophet who's trying to put a new guy in charge of the temple, somebody that will take Jeremiah to task. And God says, nope, that's not going to happen. Zephaniah, the priest, read this letter in the hearing of Jeremiah the prophet. Then the word of he who is came to Jeremiah, send to all the exiles, saying, thus says he who is concerning Shemaiah of Nehalam, because Shemaiah has prophesied to you when I didn't send him and has made you trust in the lie. Therefore, thus says he who is, behold, I will punish Shemaiah and his descendants. He shall not have anyone living among this people. He shall not see the good that I will do to my people, declares he who is, for he has spoken rebellion against he who is. So God is using Jeremiah to specify some of the false teachers, false prophets that should not be listened to, because God will punish them.